The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Happy New Year. I hope you had a great day yesterday. Yesterday was a wonderful day for Debbie and me. I conducted a wedding ceremony for a good friend and two wonderful families, and it was at 3 o'clock. And so I had to leave the house at about 2 o'clock to get there. It was about 25 minutes away. And as many know, yesterday was a big football day. And so I'm a big Texas Longhorns fan, and the Longhorns kicked off at noon. And so I got to watch the first half, and Texas looked to be in control, although we couldn't score that well, but we were up 17-3. So I felt pretty good. And so I said to Debbie, I said, well, you know, I can get emotionally tied up in the game. So I said, I'm not going to really look. And then, but I was getting texts right before the wedding. Oh, the Longhorns are blowing it again, blah, blah, blah. And so anyway, as it turned out, the Longhorns won in double overtime by 8 points, 39-31. So a great victory for the Horns, and we live on to play Ohio State, which played the number one team in the nation, Oregon, and beat them like they stole something. And so that's going to be quite the showdown. So we have Penn State going to play the winner of Georgia-Notre Dame, and then the winner of the UT-Ohio State game will play the winner of Penn State-Georgia for the national championship. Now, Georgia and Notre Dame were supposed to play last night in New Orleans at the Sugar Bowl. But as you know, and as you've heard on American Family Radio, in the news updates and the program, Jenna's program before me talked about it, there was a terrorist attack that came in the early hours of January 1st of yesterday of the new year. And this terrorist, Islamic terrorist, he had an ISIS flag in his truck, drove through at high rates of speed, mowing down people in the French Quarter, killing 15, wounding many more. He was armed to the teeth. He got out of the truck, started shooting people. He's finally shot and killed himself. And that's how 2025 began in New Orleans with another terrorist attack in America. And people wonder, how does this happen? And that you try and wrap your head around what would cause a person to do what he did. You know, you go back to 9/11 and you say, what would cause a person to hijack a plane and then fly it into the World Trade Center buildings and kill so many people? What works in that person's mind? So I wanted to talk today about something that you may not know a lot about, and that is the religion of Islam. Because Hamas, Hezbollah, the people in Iran and Iraq and Syria and Turkey and all the Islamic countries, Islam is, they look at Christianity, they hate the Jews and they hate the Christians. And little Satan, or they're the Jews, the great Satan is the United States of America. We're letting lots of these people in. You know, when the terrorist attack happened in 9/11 and so many people lost their lives, and we were just in shock. And it was George Bush, the president at that time, he got up there on Ground Zero and assured the people, this has nothing to do with Islam. We're fighting terrorism. We're not fighting a religion. And Islam is a religion of peace. And I couldn't believe that he said that. Now, you know, I agree that, you know, he shouldn't have gotten up there and say we're at war with Islam. But to say Islam is a religion of peace, just shows that you have not done any study about the religion of Islam, because Islam has never been a religion of peace. So you trace the roots of Islam all the way back to the founder of Islam, who was Muhammad. Muhammad founded Islam, which means submission, in about 610 AD, over 550 years after the time of Christ. And you will get those in, Islamic scholars and things will say, no, Islam goes all the way back to Adam. But the truth of the matter is nobody had heard of Islam before Muhammad. Muhammad is the founder of Islam. And how did he found Islam? Well, Muhammad was a merchant, and he was praying in the desert there, and he said he had a visitation from the angel Gabriel. And the angel Gabriel came to him and revealed God to him and said, there is one God. You know, in Muhammad's world, in Mecca, they worshiped all these gods, and it was very polytheistic. And the angel Gabriel told him, no, there's only one God, and you are the prophet of the one God. And the God is literally what Allah means, the God. And there is just one God, and you are his prophet. Now, interestingly, in one of the books I studied by Anisha Roche, he said that Muhammad came home to his wife. He was about 40 years old when he had this vision. And he said to his wife, I don't know if this was a demonic spirit or if this was a holy angel. And she said to him, well, you're too good a man for that to be a demonic spirit. This must have been a holy angel. And so she convinced him that what he had received was indeed from a holy angel. Interesting, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, even Satan can disguise himself to look like an angel of light. That's how the devil gets all his work done. He gets it done through lies. He's a liar and the father of lies. And he has to disguise himself as something good. He has to come with a lie, because if he tells you the truth, you'll never go for it. If he had told Eve the truth when he was coming at her in the Garden of Eden, if he had said, Eve, I want you to eat this fruit because I want to bring sin into the world. I want to bring death into the world. I want to curse the world. I want to separate every one of your children from God. I want to send you all to hell. I don't think she would have eaten the fruit, but he didn't do that. He lied to her. He said, oh, there are no consequences for sin. You eat of this fruit, you surely shall not die. For God knows, in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. All that is a lie. And she wasn't like God. She fell from her innocence and her relationship with God, and so did Adam, who ate, not from deception. She ate from deception. Adam didn't, he was not deceived. He just ate in, along with her, but plunged the human race into sin, into the fall of man. And so the devil is a liar, and he came to Muhammad. I mean, this is, every Christian should know this. If you get a visitation from an angelic being and he gives you false information, well, that's not coming from God. We read in the Bible, Gabriel did come to Zacharias. He came to Elizabeth, presumably came to Joseph in a dream. The Bible doesn't say it was Gabriel by name, but he came to the other two, so we think Gabriel. But if you're going to get a visitation from an angel and he's going to tell you something that is contrary to Scripture, just know that is Satan. He is disguising himself as an angel of light. Well, Muhammad believed that he was the prophet of Allah. And if you'll notice that in Islam, that's one of the things you say, I believe that there is one God and Muhammad is his prophet. And so Muhammad believed this lie, and he began to advance the religion of Islam. And how did he do it? He did it through force. He did it through the sword. Islam has always been, from its inception, smash mouth religion. And Muhammad engaged in numerous attacks where he was the aggressor. And when he would conquer a tribe or a village or whatever, I mean, they had a choice. You confess that there is one God, his name is Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet, or you die. Now, you had the Karazi Jews. He killed 2,000 of them. The Jews would not confess that Allah was God. There is only one God. The first commandment, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And Jehovah, Yahweh, is our God. And so you can't confess to, you know, Allah and Muhammad as his prophet. So he killed them. And he killed them from morning until evening, 2,000 men, and he sold the women and children into slavery. Muhammad's character, well, he had numerous wives, and one of his wives was very, very young. I think he married her when she was 8 or 9 years old and waited until she was 11 or 12 before he consummated, or something like that. Around those numbers get a little fuzzy, but It was Jerry Vines, Dr. Jerry Vines, when he was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He made the statement that Islam was founded by a demonized pedophile. And, the Islamic world was up in arms that he would say that. But that is true. Muhammad's actions, he was visited by Satan, who disguised himself as an angel of light, to found this demonic religion, this false religion, and he was having relations with young girls, taking them as his wife, and we would call that being a pedophile. So what he said was true. Now, here's the thing. In Islam, you have 1.9 billion adherents around the world. Christianity has 2.4 billion adherents around the world, and some try and say, well, there's no difference between what happens in Christianity, what happens in Islam. Islam and Christianity worship two different gods. Allah is not the same as Yahweh. It's a different God. The Lord says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Abraham and Isaac, not Ishmael, but Isaac. Abraham had his first son, Ishmael, by Hagar, the Egyptian maid. The Arabs come from Ishmael, and the Arabs are the ones primarily who are Muslim. And so the line does not come. Yahweh is not the God of Abraham, Ishmael. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not Esau, but Isaac and Jacob. And so Islam, understanding, you know, when you see these people do these terrible things and you say, I'm trying to wrap my head around this. Why would you do this in the name of your God? Allahu Akbar, you know, Allah is great. And then they go kill people. What in the world is that? Jesus never did that. We're followers of Jesus. We're not followers of some man. We're followers of the God-man. And the God-man said, love your enemies. The God-man doesn't say, give your children as a sacrifice to me. The God-man says, I will die in your place. God the Father says, I will give my son to die for you. Huge difference between Christianity and Islam. Well, in Islam, as we get into this, so that you can understand what's going on, one of the things that you're going to see is one of the tenets of Islam is jihad. No doubt you've heard that word, jihad. Jihad is a struggle. It's a holy war. And when the Muslims engage in jihad, some say, well, that's just a spiritual struggle that we talk about. But we see it played out in a physical way when they attack, when they murder, when they rape, when they pillage, when they do all the horrible things that they did, that Hamas did to Israel in October, on October 7th, 2024, or 2023. And we look at that and just cringe. We say, how in the world can that happen? Well, Jesus said, they will make you outcast from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we're talking about this subject, understanding Islam.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about understanding Islam in the wake of the brutal attack that was done in New Orleans in the French Quarter on January 1st or the early morning hours, as I'm not going to even mention the guy's name, but he purposely rammed his SUV, ran over as many people, came at a very high rate of speed. I saw a clip of him flying by, running people over, killing 15, wounding many more, then got out of the truck. He was armed and ready to go, had his ISIS flag in the back of his pick, or in the back of that SUV. Obviously, if you're not part of an Islamic terrorist organization, you're not going to have the flag there. And so we assume, and the FBI assumes, that it was a terrorist attack. It's the FBI. In today's FBI, they really are hesitant to call things out. But that's my take on it. I think it's pretty obvious. Has all the fingerprints of an Islamic terrorist attack. We've seen this over and over and over again in our world. And so we're looking at Islam. Why would this happen? Why does it happen in Islam? What is the thing that causes that? Well, Islam means submission. And if you follow the teachings of and the life of Muhammad, that's exactly what Muhammad did. Islam is smash mouth religion. Islam, it expands and grows by telling people, believe or die, and we're going to come after you. And if you don't bow the knee, then you're going to lose your head. That's what Muhammad did. So let's talk now about the foundational teachings of Islam. Here are some of the things that rudimentary things that you need to know about the religion of Islam. Number one, Allah is one. Now, Muhammad came at a time where polytheism was just all over Saudi Arabia, and they would have all these gods at Mecca. And so the angel told him, no, there's only one God. Allah is one. And the Quran alone is trustworthy as the literal word of Allah. And the Quran was given to Muhammad. Here, you write this down. And so he was given that. This is the word of Allah. It's in Arabic. And so to really understand Islam, you have to understand Arabic, is how they would say. And you memorize the Quran in Arabic. And they're not for translations. You know, here it is. The greatest sin is shirk. S-H-I-R-K, which is worshiping anyone but Allah. Fourthly, Jesus, Isa, is a prophet, but not the crucified Son of God. You know, the idea of the Trinity is abhorrent to a Muslim because they've been taught their whole lives Allah is one. He doesn't have a son. And so Jesus is a prophet in Allah, Islam, but he's not the crucified Son of God, because God doesn't have a son, because Allah is one. And then fifthly, worship involves adherence to the pillars of the faith, the five pillars of Islam. Really, what we see is six pillars, although that's disputed. You have the Shahada, is their profession of faith. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. That's kind of what you say to become a Muslim. The Salat, that's their ritualistic prayers. They pray five times a day as they face, you know, to Mecca. And that's why you see them down on their mats and stuff like that when they do their ritualistic praying. Swam, number three, their obligatory fasting during Ramadan, S-W-A-M. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Swam. And Zakat, number four, their obligatory alms giving. And then Hajj, their pilgrimage to Mecca. They say that your sins will be forgiven. And let me just say about the fasting during Ramadan, I had a friend of mine that was grew up in Islam, and he said, you know, they you fast during the waking hours, then you pig out at night. So it's daylight hours fasting with feasting at night. So number five is Hajj, the pilgrimage to Mecca. And if you go there, make your pilgrimage, your sins will be forgiven, they're taught. And then some have said there's a sixth pillar, jihad. And that's their commitment to a struggle. And others have said, well, that's just a spiritual thing. But we read about jihad frequently in the Quran. And those that want to say, well, it's just that's just talking about a spiritual thing. Well, as Nabil Qureshi said, well, I guess you could view it that way. But that's not the way it is interpreted and communicated in the Quran. There are many verses in the Quran that speak of violence, that speak of participating in jihad. And your assurance of heaven, Islam doesn't have assurance of heaven, except if you die in jihad. And if you die in jihad, then you are going to be ushered into heaven, into paradise. You remember what the guys were told that went into the, that hijacked the planes and flew them into the World Trade Center. You know, this is going to be, because they knew they were going to die. They're on a suicide mission, but they believed that they would be ushered into paradise and given 70 virgins. You know, you've heard that probably about the 70 virgins. And, you know, it's very, the devil's fingerprints are all over Islam. The thief comes only, John 10:10, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And what do you see in Islam? It's the thief's religion, stealing, killing, destroying, lying to people. It's all sexual and sensual. What is paradise? It's 70 virgins for you to just have your fill of lust and sexual immorality. So that is a big thing that we see happening in Islam. And so what did this guy do that ran his SUV through the crowd and killed so many people? What do we see when people are performing, you know, acts of terrorism and shooting people and mowing people down and flying their planes into buildings and taking the lives of so many innocent people? Allahu Akbar. Allah is great. Well, we would Christianity, and then the maddening thing is you had, especially during 9/11, you had so many people that tried to equate, well, Christianity has its kooks and wackos, and they'll do things, and they go back to the Crusades and see, we have that, and so it's no different. There's a huge difference between Islam and Christianity. Christianity doesn't teach anybody to kill their enemies. We tell people from the lips of Jesus, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, bless and curse not. Now, there was an interesting exchange between the liberal Bill Maher and Charlie Rose. This was some years ago, and I wrote down the transcript of this interview that they had. And Charlie Rose, who was on television for a long time, he got caught up in the Me Too, and he had to resign in disgrace. But Bill Maher was saying this: I saw Howard Dean, this is quoting Bill Maher from several years ago, I saw Howard Dean on TV the other day. Remember Howard Dean, was the big Democrat. And he said something along the order. He said that people in ISIS, he said, I'm about as Islamic as they are, you know, distancing the vast numbers of Islamic people around the world from them. And Bill Maher said, that's just not true. Charlie Rose said, oh, it is true. And Maher said, no, it's not true, Charlie. There is a connecting tissue between them. There are illiberal beliefs that are held by vast numbers of Muslim people that, and Rose interrupts and said, a vast number of Christians too. And Bill Maher said, no, that's not true, not true. Vast numbers of Christians do not believe that if you leave the Christian religion, you should be killed for it. Vast numbers of Christians do not treat women as second-class citizens. Vast numbers of Christians do not believe if you draw a picture of Jesus Christ, you should get killed for it. So yes, does ISIS do Khmer Rouge-like activities where they just kill people indiscriminately who aren't just like them? Yes. And would most Muslim people in the world do that or condone that? No. But most Muslim people in the world do condone violence just for what you think. Charlie Rose says, well, how do you know that? Mar says they do. First of all, they say it, they shout it. And Rose said, vast numbers of Muslims say that? Mar said, absolutely. There was a Pew poll in Egypt done a few years ago. 82% said, I think stoning is the appropriate punishment for adultery. Over 80% thought death was the appropriate punishment for leaving the Muslim religion. I'm sure you know these things. He goes on to say, so to claim that this religion is like other religions is just naive and plain wrong. It's not like other religions. Charlie Rose says, well, I do believe that what we see with ISIS is not representative of the Islamic religion. I don't think the Quran teaches them to do these things. Bill Maher says, well, you're wrong about that. The Quran absolutely has on every page stuff that's horrible about how the infidels should be treated. Now, I'm not a Bill Maher fan by any stretch of the imagination, but what I do appreciate about Bill Maher is he doesn't just buy the left's talking points hook, line, and sinker. He does think for himself, and he will come out and say this is true or this is false. And he spoke the truth about Islam. The idea that you try and mix those together and say, well, it's just religion. Religion is bad. You believe the lie from the atheist. All religion is bad. Religion just kills people. No, you have the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And then you have the lie. And the devil is a liar and the father of lies. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 13, when Paul went on his first missionary journey and he had that encounter with the magician. His name was, Sergius Paulus. He was the proconsul, and he had a magician, a Jewish false prophet, whose name was Bar-Jesus, or they also called him Elymas. And they were witnessing to this guy, Sergius Paulus. But Elymas, the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him and said, you who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Acts 13:10. That is the devil's program in a nutshell. Acts 13:10. He never ceases to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord. And so that's what we see in Islam. Now, there was a very interesting exchange that John MacArthur had when he was on an airplane. I wrote this down some years ago. He was on an airplane, and he was reading his Bible. This guy sits next to him, and he says to him, they were going from Los Angeles to El Paso. He was going to do a men's conference, and this guy sits next to him, and he says to John, he says, hey, I'm new to America. He sees him reading his Bible, and he says, I'm from Iran. What's the difference between all these religions, Catholic, Baptist, Protestant? And so John engaged in a conversation with him, and John asked him, he said, well, it has to do with how they deal with sin. And he said to this Iranian, do you have sins in Islam? He said, yes, many, so many I can't count. He said, well, do you do those sins? And the man said, well, yes, all the time. In fact, I'm going to El Paso to see my girlfriend, and we are planning on sinning. And he said, well, how does the God, Allah, the God, feel about your sins? The man said, oh, he's very bad. He said, well, what could happen? The man said, well, bad things, big trouble. And John said, well, does that mean hell? He said, yes. And he said, well, you're going to go do that anyway, even though hell is there as a potential, result? He said, well, yes. And he said, is there any hope for you in Islam? He said, well, I hope that Allah will forgive me. And John said, on the basis of what? Why should God forgive you? What's so special about you? And the man said, well, I don't know. He said, is there anything in Islam that indicates salvation for anyone who willfully sins like you do? He said, no, but I just hope he will. And then John said this to him. He said, well, I know God personally, and I know that he won't forgive you. And the man's eyes got big, and he says, you know the God? I mean, in Islam, you don't know God personally. It's not a personal relationship with Allah. And John used that shocking statement to this man to tell him about Jesus and to tell him about Christianity and to tell him why God sent his son. For God so loved the world. He so loved this Iranian guy that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Father did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. Hey, when we talk about shine and share on this program, shine how you live your life. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And share. Share what great things the Lord has done for you, how he had mercy on you, how he forgave you, and share. So you share your story, you share his story. And his story is the gospel. Jesus died on the cross for our sins and he rose again on the third day. And he offers salvation to anyone who will repent and believe. He'll wash you white as snow. Such a huge difference between Christianity and Islam. Well, we are up against a break, but when we come back, as is our practice, we're going to be opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I would love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, please give me a call. It's always a joy to hear from the listeners, and we hope to get a lot of calls today and answer your questions as best we can from the Word of God. So we'll be right back after the break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And we've been talking about understanding Islam in the wake of the Islamic terrorist attack in New Orleans that killed 15 people, wounded many more. We don't know the status of those folks, or I don't. And they could also pass away from the injuries they suffered. The terrorist has been killed, and we grieve when things like this happen. It's just horrific, but it causes us to say why. And Jesus told us, hey, you know, in the last days, people are going to get more and more evil. 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, difficult times will come. And we're living in these difficult, evil, dangerous times. And the devil is at work, and he is at work in false religion. He never ceases to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. And the devil's way, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus came that we might have life and might have it abundantly. Islam as a religion is evil. It is demonic. But now we have to always remember, although Islam is evil and is an enemy, Muslims are not. Muslims are the mission field. And we love Muslims and we share the gospel with Muslims. Just as I shared that last illustration, John MacArthur talking to that Muslim man on the airplane, we look for opportunities to share the good news with them because there's no hope in Islam. And the only hope is that you die in jihad and you die trying to kill somebody or killing people. And then you go to heaven. It's so twisted. And it's so evil. Well, we're going to the phone lines at 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to hear from you. And let's start with Ron from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. You know, when 9/11 happened, I was just kind of shocked that our president would back Islam, George Bush would back Islam as a co-equal religion with Judaism and Christianity, which was an absolute 100%, a 180 degree diametrically opposed religion. It's not a religion at all. It's a conquest faith that's designed, right, apparently by bankers in Rome. They sent Khadija in the 500 or 600 AD to go and control some psychopath out there who could control the trade routes from the Silk Road in the Levant. So she found Muhammad and funded the whole entire operation. There's direct connections to the Catholic Church through this, which makes it co-equal with Freemasonry. If you study Freemasonry and you realize that our currency is getting dominated by the same kind of people, probably the same institutions today, 1,500 years later. But the challenge here, I realized, not to worry when 9/11 happened, was because it's a challenge to our faith, Jeff. If we can absorb another fake religion and another fake scam of a cult, we're called to service. We have to save these people. We have to find it in ourselves to love these people who are killing us and attacking us. And I look towards the answer with Thomas Jefferson. You know, he called them on their cult by burying their pirates from the Barbary Coast in pigskins. That caused the caliph to back off, and they cut a deal, and it created our navy. I mean, today we still have to find a way to talk to our Muslim neighbors to save them, because we are saved, and we're no different. Our sin is no different than a Muslim sin or a Muslima sin. We have to find a way to educate ourselves on what they're saying. And if we don't even read our Bibles, we're toast.
Right. Well, that's a good point, Ron. Most Christians don't really understand what Islam is, so we believe the lies that George Bush, you know, told, oh, it's a religion of peace, and we just, oh yeah, it's a religion of peace. I remember when Ben Affleck was on Bill Maher's program, and he was so upset that people were talking bad about, you know, the Islamic faith. And it's like, you don't know, obviously you don't know anything about it, because if you'd study it, you would know this is evil. And this has the devil's fingerprints all over it, and it has always been about conquest and about killing and about smash mouth, believe or die. That's just the truth. And so you might practice some offshoot of Islam and pull out, as Nabil Qureshi, there are 109 verses in the Quran that teach violence and killing. Well, if you pull those out and you don't practice those, well, you could practice it in a way that would be peaceful, but then that's not true Islam. And that's why Islam is splintered, and you have lots of different factions in Islam. And, you know, if they kill all the Christians and Jews, then what do? Then they kill each other because, oh, you're not part of my tribe and you don't believe like I do and that kind of thing. I mean, it's just it's just what the devil does. He's a death dealer. And so there's no love in Islam. As Hamas's motto is, we love death as much as you love life. No doubt they do, because they're following the father of death and sin and deceit. So I appreciate the call. We have Shirley on the line from Tennessee. Shirley, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, I just want to say thank you for taking my call. A lot of people don't realize that Surah chapter 5 tells them to kill any infidels who won't join them. But this is my question for you, and that is, were you aware of the satanic verses where Muhammad wrote a bunch of verses and then claimed that those verses weren't written by any God through him, but by the devil? And my way of witnessing the people who are Islamic or anything is not to talk about their religion, because they're not going to usually believe you anyway, but tell them about the Christ who saves, and tell them about Jesus. And if they want to talk about him, then what we can do is dispel the myths and rumors they have in their minds about Jesus. Because they know he did miracles, and they're following the guy who never did any miracles. They say the Quran is a miracle, but it's really not. It's just a book that he wrote through his wife because he was supposedly illiterate. So the point is, Jesus raised the dead, healed the sick, healed the lame. He did many great things. He himself rose up, which they don't want to realize. But the fact is, who could have done all those great miracles but God? And so that's why they keep him as a prophet, because they kind of want to be close, but kind of want to be separate like the Hindus and others. The thing is, he's not to be kept close and separate. I tell him, you draw the line. You're either with him or you're not. So have you heard of those satanic verses? That was my question.
I have. That he supposedly wrote?
Yes. That I had heard this, that Muhammad had written a bunch of verses. And they were called satanic verses because he said that he wasn't written through by an angel, but those the devil wrote through him, so he balls them up and throw them away.
Huh. I have not heard that. I'll have to do some research on that, Shirley, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, the whole thing, the Quran is a production of the devil, and it's all designed to deceive. And that's what the devil does. And so Islam is just, it is the devil's religion, you know, and all false religion is the devil's religion. There's the true religion. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. There's the word of God that is the truth. And then everything else is a lie. But Islam is the biggest lie that is waging war against the truth in a way that is evident to all, as we see these terrorist attacks in the name of Allah. So I appreciate you calling in, Shirley. God bless you. Happy New Year to you. We have Joe on the line from North Carolina. Joe, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Morning, and just got a quick comment. I'll make it quick. Get other callers on. Bush 43, you got to remember, you got to consider the source. He was not exactly a U.S. presidential sharpest tool in the box. I bet you if you checked, like, for IQ levels, he probably would, of all the presidents, he'd probably be in the lower one-third. So, you know, again, take that with a grain of salt, his comments that he made back in 2001. But the thing that I was going to pass along was when I was in the Marine Corps, one of my best friends was on joint duty, and he served with a Saudi Arabian, a Sunni Muslim out of Saudi Arabia. And these guys got along like the best of buddies in the world. They had so much in common. They'd run 5 miles a day and have conversations back and forth, and travel when on liberty together. And, you know, you couldn't split the two apart during the time they served together. But my friend did ask him on one of the five-mile runs, he said, now, if a jihad were imposed on us, would you come after me to murder me? And he said the Saudi just matter-of-factly, like, you know, casual as the conversation was going, right in step, said, oh, absolutely. Yeah. No question about that. I'd have no choice, so... And it wasn't too long after, you know, they end up rotating the different duty stations and split or whatever, and he didn't really keep in contact with him after that. But But it's really interesting. They, you know, they can come across as your best friend you'd ever want to meet in the world, but, oh, boy, they would come after you with severe vengeance if, in fact, there was, we were in a caliphate-type situation. So I just wanted to share that.
That's a good word, Joe. And it goes exactly with what Jesus said in John 16, that they think they're serving God by doing that. They'll kill you, thinking that is serving their God. And obviously their God is the God of Islam is the devil. And just like the false gods in the Old Testament times, you know, you sacrifice to Chemosh, you sacrifice to Molech. What do? You offer your child in the fire. And so it was a religion of death to appease the gods. And it's all demonic. I appreciate that, brother. We have Murph on the line from Tennessee. Murph, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thank you very much. I'd just like to let you know, I spent all of 2023 reading Robert Spencer's The Critical Quran. And it's the most bizarre book I've ever read. And everything you are saying about the Quran and jihad is 100% true. And it's on just about every other page. Oh, Muslim, there's a non-believer behind the tree. Grab him by the throat, make him your slave. And what the previous caller just said about this Marine and this gentleman from Saudi Arabia, the Quran commands true believers to speak deception in order to gain the favor of their enemies, who they will slaughter when the command comes from Mecca. And the lady previous to that was talking about some of these sayings of Muhammad, and that's called the Hadith. Mm-hmm. And what it basically boils down to is that Muhammad would speak in the Quran, and then if he would, to keep it simple, leave something out, he would present a hadith. So, oh, I forgot about that. We can take all these women and make them slaves once we conquer these countries. And why in the world, Rev, anyone with an IQ above 10 would believe a single word of this? Right. The only other book I've ever read that's more bizarre is the Book of Mormon. Right. And those two go hand in hand. So thank you very much.
Great points, Murph. Very similar how Joseph Smith received the Book of Mormon from the angel Moroni. He had the appearance of the angel. Don't join any church. They're all corrupt. And Muhammad's visitation from the false, the false angel, or, well, it was a fallen angel from Satan disguising himself as an angel of light and giving him this information about there is only one God, Allah, you're his prophet, that kind of thing. So I appreciate that. Yeah, so just so our listeners know, according to Nabil Qureshi, who had he's in heaven now, but he had the book Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, Seeking Allah, something like that. I can't remember exactly how the title went. But he became a Christian from Islam. And he said 109 verses in the Quran talk about violence and killing. Here's an example. Surah 2, 191. And kill them, non-Muslims, wherever you find them, kill them. Such is the recompense of the disbelievers, the non-Muslims. Surah 9:5, then kill the disbelievers, the non-Muslims, wherever you find them. Capture them and besiege them and lie in wait for them in each and every ambush. And that's what they're taught. And that's why Hamas, as it would teach the children to kill, we love death as much as you love life. Why? Because if you die in jihad, then you secure your place in paradise. That is what they're taught. Well, we have Joe on the line from Texas. Joe, we just have a minute. Go ahead.
In Matthew 6, Christ said, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, God will not forgive your sins. Well, in Islam, that's reversed. In other words, if you don't forgive other people when they sin against you, God will not forgive them either. So I think that explains a lot of the culture and the anger and the violence and the bitterness that you see, because rather than unforgiveness keeping me out of heaven, my unforgiveness of you can keep you out of heaven.
Yeah, Good point, Joe. I appreciate you bringing that up. Well, thanks for listening. We're out of time, and thanks for listening to Real Truth for today, and it's always a joy to be with you. I hope you're having a happy new year. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Study to show yourself approved. Shine, share, be the person God wants you to be, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.